Are you the kind of person who bites the hand that feeds you? This is Dr. Herbert O'Reilly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. Are you the kind of person that bites the hand that feeds you? Well, little love apparently is the kind of person that bites the hand that feeds him. I was giving Rex a cookie, and Rex took it gently and opened up his mouth, and he received it perfectly. And little love, I reached down to give him a little cookie, and he said, "Wow!" And he leaped at it and took my finger in his mouth and everything else. You know, I think he wanted to have some frosting on the cookie. So,
that.
He sort of bit the hand that was feeding him. And I have to say to little love, I'm coming for you. I'm doing this for you now. Just be gentle, be gentle, be gentle. But apparently his mother never feeds him, and so he has to fight for his food whenever either she gets it or he gets it, you know. And so I'm going to have to work on him and spend a little time teaching him unconditional love. Because I think that you never would bite the hand that feeds you if you have unconditional love. I find it very fascinating that people like the people at Ford Motor Company saying to the government, "We don't need our bailout right now. We got enough to see us through the end of the year. And so then we'll need some help," you know. Instead of saying, "Thank you very much. We'll take it when we can get it," you know. But it's not going to be theirs instantly. It'll be the end of the year before it's theirs. And they make the government feel perhaps they don't really need the money. If they don't need it now, maybe they don't need it later. Mm-hmm. And in a report that showed unemployment and layoffs by nations of the world, we are about the eighth nation down. Other nations are up in the 4.5 or 5.5% layoff and percent out of work and stuff, and we are down at the 1.1%, which is a lot, but it's not quite as much as Germany and Japan and France and all the other countries that are listed. Now, all these countries want to blame the United States for their economic conditions. And what all these countries are doing is biting the hand that feeds them. We have been going around feeding, blessing, giving to all the nations of the world, and all the nations of the world want it, they take it, and they are eager for it, but there's always a little taint about it that they couldn't do it themselves, and they needed help. Well, they shouldn't think that way. They should think of the United States in giving them money, lending them money, that the United States is a banker. And the United States Bank is quite sufficient. Their own banks are not sufficient. Their own economic system that they've run has not been strong enough to handle it. Now, it's easy to complain. It's easy to complain. Now, we watched the old edition of My Three Sons the other night, and the boys were asking for a raise in their allowance. And they wanted a 50% raise in their allowance. And they were sure that their father would not agree to it. And they argued about it, and they hollered about it, and they were unhappy about it, and they were making a big fuss about it. And finally the father got them quieted down enough, one at a time, to say, "Well, now, what makes you think you need a 50% increase in your allowance? You don't even do the work that you're supposed to do with the allowance you're getting. How much more are you going to do with the allowance that you want to get? Are you willing to be more part of the family and partake in the responsibilities of the family if you get a larger allowance? What are you going to do with it?" And so then the boy rattled off some of the things that he had to do. He's going to have to go to the senior prom. He's going to have to rent a tuxedo. He's going to have to do this, that, and the other thing. Four things for school and for things for his activities. And his dad says, well, I don't know what you're talking about on that. We'll pay for that. That's not out of your allowance. Oh, good. See, because he was thinking it was out of his allowance. But that's just because there was a lack of communication between the father and the son on that. But the lack of communication came not because of the father, but because the son didn't tell the father what things were coming up, even though the father knew, but he just thought naturally he would pay for that and help that along. And then the boy said, can't you afford to double our allowance? And the father says, oh, that's no problem at all. It's no problem to double your allowance. But you can't get something for nothing. You have to do your part in the family role if you're going to get it. And the boys were just ready to bite the hand that was feeding him. And so, in the show, it showed each boy having dreams of trying to get their father to come across with the money, and they haven't even asked him, trying to get their father to come across with the money, and they showed their having everybody say their father is bad because he's not giving it to him, their father is terrible, and he's a mean old man, and so forth. And they didn't want to feel that way about their dad. And so their dreams were so unhappy that it made them feel sad in their hearts, and they couldn't handle it because they couldn't bite the hand that fed them. They had to take a new look at the whole picture. And in taking a new look at the whole picture, they found that, yes, they were delinquent in doing the things that they should have done. So why was their father thinking of giving them some more? And then what is it they're going to do with it? What is it they're going to spend that on? What do they need it for? The father provides everything for them, their clothing, their food, their housing, their miscellaneous stuff. And then the boy said, well, I have a car, and I have to take Bub, I have to take part of the family around, I have to take him shopping, I have to go and do this with the car, I have to do that, and pretty soon I haven't got any money left for my gas, you know, because I don't have that much money in the first place. And the father said, well, all you have to do is tell me about that, and we'll work it out. We'll figure it out so that your wear and tear on the car and your gas is covered. And, but Dad, yeah, you got to do this. Well, we'll take care of it. But Dad, you got to do this. I just said we'll take care of it. He was so intent on the fact that he thought his father wouldn't do it that he didn't even hear his father say that he would do it. And this is how we are. We're so intent on our unhappiness, on feeling sorry for ourselves, that we don't hear that it can be done. Now, we have many people that we're working with as practitioners, and these people want to tell us all their problems. And we say, don't. Tell us the solution you want, and we'll work with you on that solution, because this is a mental science. This is a mental program, and we can work with you very effectively on that. Now, if you get a cold, and you're thinking that you're going to have that cold forever, then you have a problem. Now, this is what you think when you have an illness. You think you're going to have the illness forever. And because you think you're going to have the illness forever, my, come son. And because you think you're going to have the illness forever, I know you love me. He brings my sock out of the television room. Because you think you're going to have the illness forever, you say, I'm sick. Instead of saying, I'm whole and perfect. If we give our concentration to the illusion, then the illusion continues to be real for us. And if we put a new illusion into motion for ourselves, a whole new picture, a whole new attitude, we'll stop biting the hand that feeds us, and the hand that feeds us is our mental attitude. And we keep going after our own self and chewing on ourselves. I just enjoyed being at Mark's house, my son, when his dog was sitting on the couch with me. It's a little thing from Mexico, Chihuahua type terrier. And he was sitting there, and all of a sudden I heard him crunch, crunch, crunch. And I looked down. He was trimming his toenails. He was sitting there with his teeth. crunching off of the ends of his toenails, trimming his toenails. And I thought, my goodness, you know, we should really use a toenail clipper for that. But he crunched it off and cleaned it off and made it nice. And I thought, you see, animals can do most anything if we would really realize that they can and let them do it. Then great things can happen. But we don't often do that. And, of course, he was biting his own toenail. But he did it beautifully, and he was a happy boy. So we must be careful not to bite the hand that feeds us, because if we do, we're going to be very sorely put. Because the hand that feeds us is our own self, our own consciousness, our own attitude, and our own being. So begin today by saying, I am successful, I am happy, I am positive, I am joyful, I am peaceful, I am abundant, I am healthy. And as you say that, ideas will come up and say, oh yeah, oh yeah? And you just say, yeah, yeah, I am healthy, happy, hearty. And as you do that, then what do you get? You get the answer fully and totally of the revelation of that which you are going after. So, join with me in speaking your word like I speak mine, and say, I like me. I'm whole and perfect. I live in a fabulous world. And know that I love you. Eternally.
I love you.
I love you.